For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to what you can see is a very special Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Every now and then again, we always prefer in-studio guests as opposed to Zoom, but Zoom's the way of the world now, or StreamYard. Very pleased in our guest segment to have in here, of course, the great Jim McMahon. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And by the way, because of the lighting, Jim asked to wear his sunglasses. So he said, sure.
He's not brighten this up as you get it.
Well, part of it is the overhead lighting. And this is actually, Jimmy, our war room for football Sundays, et cetera. We watch all the games in live time. And we had a little chat ahead of time about what we were doing and so forth. But injuries are a big part of the football game. So welcome to the show. What you been up to these days?
Well, for about the last 19 months, dealing with a bad foot and trying to figure out what the heck's going on. And hopefully by the end of today, we will.
Yeah. So now, to that end, look, I always say this about, first of all, thrilled that you're here. And from a fan perspective, you have to understand, I was in Chicago in 1985. It was a great time to be there. I was in medical school in Chicago, and obviously the 85 and the 86 Bears, the whole thing, that was very special, and the Super Bowl shuffle and everything. Wow. As a matter of fact, the crew that I have working with me here, I said, Jake Mann's coming. Like, oh, that's cool. Then they do some Googling, and I first said we should get him a Sports Injury Central 6-score headband, and I'm not sure they understood that until they actually they don't know such a history. But for the most part, all the guests that I've had on have been fairly professional. I feel like they've been people I've gotten to know since I've become a physician in the NFL and then step down from that, or in the media world. You're one of the few that I would say is like, I was a fan first, as opposed to in a more professional setting. So thrilled to have you here. And that was a special time, 80s, the Bears
Chicago was a fun place to be. you gotta watch yourself there now.
Yeah.
Craziness going on.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Chicago a little bit, about you and stuff. I guess my first thing is, everyone knows that football is a very, everyone says it's a contact sport. I actually say football is not a contact sport. I say basketball is a contact sport. You're always in contact with people. Football is a collision sport. Mm-hmm. To me, there's a big difference between a contact sport and a collision sport. You've suffered your injuries over time, be it the light sensitivities and this, that, the other, and your whole body and sort of, knowing what you know now, would you play again, or if you had kids, let them play?
I would have rather played baseball my whole life, but it didn't work out that way. And I had four kids, two boys, and never really pushed them to play football. And my oldest son really had no interest. He grew up playing hockey and baseball. My youngest son really liked the game of football and wanted to be a football player and play, I think, 2 years in high school. And he as well played hockey and baseball and ended up playing baseball. So I'm kind of happy they didn't. I don't think they're, until there'll be, juniors in high school at least, to put on a helmet and start hitting people.
Sure. So rewind the clock, knowing what you do now, would you have really tried harder baseball or done the football route again?
I would have went the baseball route, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get asked all the time, would you let your son play football, this, that, the other? If you ask my wife, my son's 10 now. If you ask my wife when our son was 5, she would have said no and no way. My answer was always, let's wait and see when he gets into high school? Does he even want to? Does he like the contact? He likes the game of football because I watch it all the time. And he plays the flag football stuff. But that's different than tackle football. Yeah. And what I tell parents is, if you like baseball or your kid likes baseball as much as he likes football, let him play baseball. I mean, you know, in terms of safety and otherwise. To me, it's not just head injuries, but it's, you know, knee injuries, your whole body and so forth, especially with the number of years that you played it. It's a collision sport. If you prefer tennis, by all means, go play tennis. But, you know, I suppose my answer is, if my son loved football and was dying to play it, then I probably would allow him to. But if he likes something else about the same, I might steer him in a different direction. And, you know, for those who say, you know, football, you should or shouldn't, and I look at it this way. Riding a motorcycle is dangerous, more dangerous than driving in a car. Driving in a car, it has some dangers too. The only way to not get in a car accident is never get in a car, right? And so there is some inherent dangers in anything you do. Riding a motorcycle is clearly more dangerous than being in a car, but it's not illegal. Football is clearly more dangerous than other sports. Whether it's I don't know that it should be illegal. Let people choose what they want to do and be informed and do it as safely as possible. I'm all for some of the things that have happened in football. I mean, as you know, I mean, I was a team physician before the whole recognition of full concussions and then lived the growth of into concussions. And, you know, I think it's a good thing that it's gone from a badge of honor to come off to the sidelines and says, ooh, I saw stars, but I stayed in, which is your entire era.
Pretty much.
And now it's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all do under that tent, but, you know, when they come out nowadays. And
well, yeah.
What goes on in there?
I mean, when I was in the NFL, I wanted a tent because there are things sometimes you want to do. I mean, a groin wrap, you got to run inside. You can't do that. Or all the times that people pee on the Gatorade area, right, on the sideline. You want a tent. Or I wanted a tent because half the time I would examine a guy on the sideline, one of the athletic trainers would be blocking the camera. I'm like, can we just have a tent? But now that I'm on the other side, I don't like the tent. I want to see what they're doing. And once the tent goes up, it's a different story. But, you know, and that's the one thing that I don't think people, I can't say enough, is that in the game of football, right, 85% is a good week. You know, especially as the season goes on, nobody, you know, people look at an injury report and say, oh, I see three names or five names or seven names. Do you really think you travel three team physicians, four or five athletic trainers and a physical therapist for those four people that were on the list? I mean, you see a dozen guys a game after a game and before a game and different things. It really is a brutal collision sport.
And how they try to hide the, you know, who's hurt and who's not.
Yeah, well,
like that's questionable, or what's the other one?
Well, yeah, they've tried to get rid of some of them. There's questionable, doubtful. There used to be probable. They got rid of that. Yeah. Questionable and doubtful. So really, you really look at it now.
Just so the odds would change in Vegas.
Right. Well, questionable is anything from 99% playing to basically 99% not playing is questionable. Everything else is out or doubtful. So this is why legitimately the Patriots can put 12 or 15 guys every week as questionable. Because as long as they have something, they're legitimately questionable, even if they're 99% playing. And that's kind of what we do at Sports Injury Central, right? In the game of hide the bacon, is this questionable guy going to play, not play, or how well, or how many, or what can he or can he not do? We try and turn questionable into not playing, questionable into playing, but limited snaps or effectiveness or whatever off of video. And we do it with the team physicians that were in the sport, from myself to John Heffernan, who was the Bulls' longtime team physician and featured in The Last Dance, et cetera, and many others. So that's what I'm doing. But we're not here to talk about me. More on you. We talked about Chicago. And obviously Chicago, that was a great time and for the city and so forth. What do you think about potential Arlington Heights for a stadium for Chicago Bears? What do you think about that?
Is that where the old racetrack was?
Yeah, apparently there's a deal that's brewing. I'm not sure exactly how, but
well, from what I've heard is it's, they're going to try to make that area, that whole area, like Wrigleyville, you know, what the Cubs have done downtown, by Wrigley. And, and that's the only plans that I've heard about.
Do you like that idea or do you think
I think it would be great for the fans? And I think it'd be easier for them to all to get to the stadium. You know, right now you can come in from the north or the south, basically. You're not, there's nowhere else to come from.
That's an iconic setting right on the lake in Soldier Field. Yeah. We've played there a bunch, but I often wonder every time I go there, I always say, what does the city of Chicago know that a spaceship landed in the middle of Soldier Field? That's what it looks like, right?
In my opinion, I wouldn't. It's sad, but
yeah,
they could have used those pillars a lot better than they did there.
Yeah,
but they're iconic, and they, you know, just blend them in somehow, not with a spaceship, like you said.
Yeah, but that's the latest thing. It used to be, right? Stadiums were about seat licenses and suite revenue. Now stadiums are about land development. Look at Inglewood and the Rams. It's about land development. And you're right. That's what Arlington Heights is probably about. It's about the associated land development. But I'm glad you think that it's better for fans. It's always a good thing. I forgot to say earlier.
It'll be a little bit warmer in Arlington Heights than right there on the lake. But, you know, and you're in Chicago, it's cold. It doesn't matter.
As I said, I lived in Chicago. And the thing I never figured out is when it was 30 degrees colder, it was lake effect. And in the summertime, when it was warm, whatever it was different than anywhere else, it was always lake effect. If it's snowing like crazy, it's lake effect. If it's sunny, it's lake effect. If it's windy, it's lake effect.
Pretty easy to be one of those people. 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
Hey, it's going to rain tomorrow. Maybe not. I
don't know. Everything is is lake effect. The one thing I did, the guys did, they looked up stuff. Look, I didn't realize you came in. When you started, you were a punter.
In college? Yes.
Yeah, in college.
Well, I wanted to make the varsity in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wasn't going to be the first or second team quarterback. And I knew I could kick the ball. So I tried that and I ended up winning that job. So, and then I ended up being the third team quarterback as well. So
you were the original
as a freshman.
Danny White or...
Well, Danny was before me.
Danny was before you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So you followed him. Yeah, gotcha.
Well, he was at Arizona State.
Okay. And then, back in the day, George Blanda punted and was a quarterback, right?
George did it all.
Punted,
yeah.
So brings up a question. In today's, do you think if you could be transposed in today's NFL when you were coming out of college, would you be better off or worse off? Are you a better fit for now? Is it better now? Or would it be an advantage for you to be a today's quarterback or disadvantage?
Well, nowadays you can't get hit. So, or supposedly, right? Yeah. And, you know, everybody's pretty much wide open. They're throwing the ball a lot. And that's what I did in college. I mean, that's all I wanted to do was throw it.
That's why you went to BYU.
Exactly.
Not for the honor code.
No, yeah, we try to win games, you know. Yeah. I wanted to throw the ball more, but in Chicago it was, you know, handing the ball off to number 34 wasn't a bad deal either. You know, Walter Payton was, you know, one of the greatest ever. So it was a pleasure playing with him.
Well, as I look at it, I think you would have been, you achieved a lot playing in the mid-80s and in the 90s, but if you played today, would be a whole different story, right? As you said, I mean, routinely nowadays, quarterbacks throw minimum 40 times a game.
Oh, yeah.
My guess is you didn't throw 40 times a game.
It would take me four games to throw 40 balls.
Bro. Yeah, exactly. You know, three wide receivers are normal. Yeah, four
third and 13, yeah. Go ahead, throw one.
Good luck. But everyone knows you're throwing, yes. But not only that, as I look back in the day, they wanted you in the pocket, but you're athletic enough that you could have been one of these mobile in and out of the pocket guys and throwing the ball all the time and everywhere. And with the protections, certainly would have been better for sure. Now that I think about it. Yeah, for sure. You'd be way better off in today's game than the game that you played.
Yeah. But I think I wouldn't, you know, I've been in a lot more trouble with all this social media and everything else. I had enough trouble with the media, you know, the sports guys. And so with everything else like, that's out there now, it's just incredible.
Yeah, I think it's really hard now. And like, I don't know. I don't try and be – the bottom line is, like, I've seen it before, friends and athletes. Even if you're trying to do the right thing, if you're seen in the area, you're now, you know, the
well, they can the, spin it any way
the
they
guilty
want.
One, right? Because yeah. You're the one they remember. You forget the other 20 people that were there, and you were just standing there not doing much, you know, et cetera. Yeah. It's a different game with the social media. And there is a, if it's on social media and there's video of it, there's no explaining it. You're yeah. I see what you mean there. That certainly would make life a lot harder. Let's see. And you spent a little time in San Diego with the Chargers. Before
one brief year, but
before my time here. In
yeah,
San Diego.
It was I got traded here in 1989, and then I had 1 year here and then moved on to Philadelphia. But it was fun. I loved living here. I had a in Del Mar, you know, that's okay. Where I lived, and my kids all enjoyed it, loved the weather. And then we ended up in Philadelphia living in Jersey, and they didn't like that switch the next year. But yeah, I had a good time with the Chargers.
Yeah, well, in my tenure with the Chargers, I remember, I think it was 1999, all three of our quarterbacks were former Bear quarterbacks. Yeah. That
who,
year.
Who might they have been? I don't know.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, okay.
Eric Kramer. Moses Moreno. Wow. That was our three on our roster. All former Bear quarterback. Now, former other places too, for some of them, right? Kramer, Detroit, and Harbaugh's been other places, but that was our three. And
Moses Moreno, I forgot all about that guy.
Yeah, well, he's a San Diego kid, right? And his brother was on the team at one point too, Zeke, but the linebacker. But besides you, we had Tom Zach. Heck, we had Flutie for a number of years. So there you go.
Wow.
So when I put it out to the audience here, some questions, there are some questions that come in and said, what do you want to ask Jim? One person asked, how many packs of gum did Ditka chew on the sidelines? Now, I want to modify that. More packs of gum. Did he chew out more packs of gum or more players on the sideline in a given game on average?
I would have been close. I don't know how much gum he used, but. He wore it out. That's for damn sure. He threw it at a couple people coming off the field.
Yeah. And tell us something about Ditka that people wouldn't know. Or a special little anecdote or story.
Well, he'd give you the shirt off his back for sure, no matter who you are. He was a hell of a player. I would have loved to play with him. He's a Hall of Fame player. And I think he would have understood me a hell of a lot more had he been in my huddle, because he'd have figured out, hey, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He always thought I did stuff just to piss him off. I said, Mike, I'm trying to win games with the bullshit you're sending in. It's not going to work. Because I had to change a lot of plays or not even call them.
Well, that would be one thing now, would be very different if you're trying to play now, because everything is scripted and sent in, and here's the play call. You maybe have two options, but everything is sent in. There's no freedom for the quarterback anymore in today's game. That would definitely be a difference.
And your freedom is you get four guys wide, and you can pretty much take your pick depending on how you see them line up.
Yeah, no question there. That's certainly. I think it's just different, right? It's just a totally different game. Look, every sport is different now. Baseball's different. You know, it's five-man, maybe six-man rotations, and the reliever pitches the ninth inning only. No eighth and ninth, no seventh, right? Everything's different. NBA load management, this, that, the other, and it's either a dunk or a three, right? There's no mid-game, you know. Football's the same now, right? I mean, third and two is now a passing down, right?
Every down's a pass. That's how it was at BYU. That's why I love that place. It was the best offense I'd ever played. But Yeah, it'd be first and goal on the one, and Lavelle Edwards would tell her or ask our coordinator, "Hey, you gonna run it in?" He goes, "No, we got it down here throwing it. We're gonna throw it in." He just loved throwing TD passes. That guy.
There you go. Now you played in college with Andy Reid.
Yes, Andy Reid was my tackle back in 1978, and he was a good teammate. Man, I had a great time with him.
Did you see coaching greatness in him?
You know, he started coaching after his eligibility was up at BYU. So he became a graduate assistant. I don't know how long he did that. Uh-huh. But, he enjoyed it. Just he loved being around the guys. And I think that's why the guys respond to him. He's a player's coach. Uh-huh. And you got to love an old offensive lineman that likes to throw the ball. And that's why he was there. And, what he's done over his coaching career is, I think, speaks for itself. You know,
well, that is interesting. He's an old lineman that wants to throw the ball. They all want to run the ball.
Yeah, they want to run it. They want to just pound on people. But he's one of those guys. Hey, he understands it's a lot easier to throw it than run it.
Yeah. All right. So, fun question for you. You were a college punter and then a quarterback. And one of my funnest little, of course, Andy Reid, one of the things he's known for is, you've seen that punt, pass, and kick where he's like.
I've seen
like,
the picture.
Towers over.
Shaq compared to us.
Who would win the punt, pass, and kick back in the day, you or Andy Reid?
Probably Andy. Hell, I'd have been looking at him like that. Hey, you got to be kidding me. I'm going against this guy.
So it would have been.
Looks like somebody's dad.
It would have been like the little pictures when he was 12 and he was towering over everybody. He's
a great guy, though. Great coach. Great to see him having the success he's had. Mm-hmm.
So besides getting healthy, you're still playing barefoot golf or not really right now?
Well, I haven't played in quite a while. I'm looking forward to going back up to Lake Tahoe in July for the American Century Championship. Uh-huh. That'll be my 34th consecutive year, I believe.
I love that course too, Edgewood.
Yeah, awesome. It's a nice place to be. Uh-huh. They do a great job there, and hell of a tournament. So it's always fun to go there.
And
I got to be walking by then. So
there you go. There's the test. There's
my motivation.
Now, what's the story behind barefoot? Why barefoot?
Well, for one, I had all those fat asses stepping on my feet in cleats all those years. Those linemen, they like to, for some reason, step backwards a lot. And I kept telling the guys, you're blocking her in front of you. You shouldn't have to step back first. You should be ready to go. And so I got stepped on a lot. And plus, it just feels great. I mean, you're walking down the fairway in the grass and the sand doesn't bother me, you know. And if I hit it in the shit, then I always have my flip-flops available. Throw those on for a shot and then back to the fairway. So, and you get a nice tan. I don't like, you know, fish barely white feet aren't real sexy. So. I try to get a tan on my feet.
Well, that was one of the other questions they asked you, why the golf? And my initial thought when I read the Twitter question was, why not? If I could get away with it, I probably would.
Well, there's no rule in golf that says you have to wear shoes. You know, there might be a local rule.
Yeah, but you're Jim McMahon.
And I'm a stickler for the rules. You know?
But I'm going to get a tan. But when you're Jim McMahon, you do that. People think there's a cool factor to it. When you're Dave Town, you do that. So who's that weirdo doctor? So I can't do that. I can't get away with that. I don't have time to golf anyways. All right. Anything else you want to cover here or talk about or the game, how it changes? We were talking a little earlier about Lamar Jackson and that situation and playing and whatever. We're open here. I'm not the best host in the world. I like to just have a conversation.
What would your views on cannabis be in the NFL and whether or not they let them utilize that rather than the opioids they prescribe?
Well, thanks for that question. First of all, as a traditional medical doctor, I'd be the first one to say that I perhaps don't know enough about cannabis, and we're learning more and more about the principles and properties of CBD, etc. So I don't happen to be a big cannabis. I'm not a cannabis user, but I can see, and there's enough evidence out there that it's certainly worth looking into for pain. The only thing that I would say is there is in your day, it may have been different. In my day, I mean, people have the assumption that you fed them full of opiates to get on the field. Look, we use Toradol. That's not an opiate. It's a strong anti-inflammatory. But the strongest painkiller that we'd ever use would be one Tylenol with codeine, because people don't understand. You can't play quarterback. You can't play running back. You can't play NFL football if you're on opiates. Your reaction time is slow. You'll get hurt. You'll hurt the team. You can't do it. Did we use the needle?
I did my whole career.
Okay. Well,
I need 6 to 8 perks a game.
Well, that's, like I said, it's a different era. In my era, we never did do that. Okay. We just never did, because we felt like it would slow people down, et cetera.
It definitely slowed me down. I mean, it slowed everybody down.
Yeah. But yeah, we never, I mean, there was one player where people assumed he was found with 100 Vicodin, and people assumed that we had given it to them. And the reality was, when we looked at our logbooks, we hadn't given them a single one. It was 100 Vicodin in a baggie. I'm not saying no players used opiates to play. I'm just saying they didn't come from the team physician. Now, you're looking at late 90s, mid to late 90s and beyond, so it's a different era. CBD might be a better alternative in game, and whether it's in game or post game, and you know, it's an interesting thing, and I think it's worth further exploration. I don't want to be declaring that it's good for this and not good for this without all the knowledge, but I think there are some avenues, and the NFL has loosened things up. Well, it's 1,800 people in the league. How many people smoke? Let's just be honest. I mean, what's your guess?
Out of 1,800? Well, when I played, I say 1,500, but no.
Okay. Well, it could be.
No, I'm just guessing. Today's game, I've no idea.
Look, you took 1,800 25-year-olds in Pacific Beach out here in San Diego, what percentage smoke? I mean, it's high, yeah, right?
80.
Yeah, so there's at least 1,000 of the 1,800. They're not catching anybody for the most part. So you know the deal. It's one performance enhancement and substance abuse are different tests. Substances of abuse happen one time a year. Okay, I'll tell you a story and see if you corroborate this. I said to guys once, this is when I was still on the team. Now, they hid the usage from me because, you know, they didn't want to involve me in it. But because I was younger and whatever, I'd talk to them and I knew them all pretty well and was friendly. I said, guys, I know what you guys do during training camp. They're like, what's that? He goes, the month before you show up, you stop smoking so that you clear out the TCH. And then in training camp, when you're at the Holiday Inn hotel, you hope your position group gets drawn first the first day. Because if you do, then you're good for the year. And that day after practice, you guys all smoke. And he looked at me and said, that day, we have a teammate's room number all set up so that as soon as we're done, we literally pee and then go into his room and smoke that day, that morning. I said, before practice? He's like, yeah. Yeah.
He says, another day.
Well, yeah, of course, no names and whatever. But yeah, I was like, I knew you'd do that night. I didn't realize it was before practice. And so I'm not, you know, look, they've relaxed the rules a little bit as far as threshold as well. And yeah, it is interesting that it's legal in California, it's legal in Colorado, but it's not legal on an NFL team.
That's crazy, because a lot of these teams are in states that are legal. And it's the average citizen can go in and purchase whatever they want. But yeah, you're going to tell an NFL player he's not allowed to do that?
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's got to take whatever they prescribe.
Yeah, and I've asked about that, and I'm told that's a CBA thing. If the players wanted to change that, they could. But as the collective bargaining works, okay, the owners will then say, what do you want to give up? We'll let you do it, but what do you want to get? So I don't know. It's all above and beyond my pay grade. But from a medical perspective, I would say I think there is some role for CBD that we need to figure out what it is.
I mean, they have tons and tons of research that they've hidden from people and lied.
There's no question. There's a lot of research. I guess all I'm saying is, and I guess we could do a special podcast on it, and it's an interesting subject, but I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I'm open to the idea. And if I were head team physician and it were today, I probably would do a lot of investigation myself through specialists to figure out what is perhaps the best role for a CBD. But I've never fully entered that world, but I am open to the idea that it could be of benefit. The question is how and what's the best way. And there definitely are some anomalies. Look, at least 1,000 players out of 1,800 are using it on a regular basis. We haven't seen a lot of horrific outcome from it. It's almost like prohibition, right? I mean, alcohol was still going on and you just made it legal again after prohibition. And the question is, how do you handle it? And obviously the CBA and everything else. But, you know, if you ask me pure out as would is CBD potentially better than being addicted to opioids, that answer is a probably strong yes. But, you know, we got to let science sort itself out and figure out what makes the most sense. I know you're a believer that it has helped you tremendously. Yes.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I tried my first joint when I was 14 years old back in 1973. And, throughout the years, enjoyed it. And, you know, same thing. We do the same thing in June. Everybody stop for a month and a half or 45 days or whatever it was. And then as soon as we took the test, we'd be out in the cornfields.
It
got me off of the opioids. I mean, I was still eating those things. I retired in 1997. And in 2005, I was still eating those things. And that's when I took my last one up until this damn foot surgery. I hadn't had an opioid in, 20 years.
Look, that's it. Like, you, I think team physicians get blamed a lot, but this is a reality. When you're Jim McMahon and you go see a doctor, you can get the Percocet you want. They're just happy to see you. And, just one time.
Yeah, never a problem getting the script.
Yeah.
Never a problem.
And that's where you get into the Brett Favre and whatever. I just admit I came in a different time, so we didn't really do that. But here's my question. So you started smoking some when you were 14. And then obviously in rest of the life. So how'd you get through your years of college without smoking?
I didn't.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking around.
Didn't get through without smoking.
We can cut that out too. I'm just joking around.
I don't care. Hell about it. I finally graduated. I'm good.
They can't take it back.
No.
All right, Jimmy, thank you so much. And glad that you came into studio today and, appreciate you, and we'll get you back golfing the summer in Lake Tahoe as best we can.
Appreciate it, Doc. Thanks for all your help.
All right. Welcome back to part two of the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. It's fun to have Jim McMahon in studio there. I think what I learned from that is I'm not a very good host or interviewer. I'm way better conversationalist.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wish that the podcast was when he first walked into the room and we started talking.
Right.
And we just started talking about, I mean, the conversation was easy, free flow, this, the other. Then we get, okay, the podcast, and I'm asking questions. I'm not an interview guy, you know? It's more of a conversation.
People want to know stuff from you, not you on the other side of it.
You know, like even when John McClain was on, when he started asking me questions, or Mike Silver, when he started asking me questions, I actually am way more comfortable with that. And when Jimmy asked me about CBD and cannabis, I was more comfortable with that than trying to run the show. It's just, anyways, I remember way back when we had a review of the podcast, and I was really proud of it. I forget who reviewed it. It was all the sports podcasts out there. And I was proud of our grade. We got an A-. And what they said was, and we were the only podcast that was really very independent. I mean, we were getting compared to a lot of the big boy, even the big boy fantasy podcasts and so forth. And they said, on the good side, it was great content, great knowledge, unbelievable guests. On the bad side is our audio quality wasn't that good, and that I didn't know how to run an interview. I'm like, fair. I think we fixed the audio. Yeah. I still don't know how to run an interview.
Work on that last part, but that's all right.
Some of it would be if I actually prepared and studied for it. Yeah. I mean, I just end up having a conversation. That's just always been my.
That's what podcasts nature. Are for the most part. So
yeah, that's why I should have just like
question answer.
Turned
yeah.
it on when we walked in the room and started talking. That almost would have been more interesting. He actually said some interesting things, you know, when, you know, even about Lamar and I tried to get him to say it again, but he already said it. So fail on my part. You know, the rating still holds true. Great guests. The guy doesn't know how to do interviews.
That's right. Stick to surgery, doc. That's the bread and butter.
It is what it is. All right. Lots of other things to talk about. Basketball, baseball, golf even.
Yeah.
Let's hit it.
Sticking with NFL real quick, though. Made a lot of buzz in the fantasy community when Sean Payton said Javonte Williams, they expect him to be ready at the beginning of training camp. And obviously that would mean ready for week one, full go, all that stuff. He was, I believe, multi-ligament, LCL, ACL. So how likely is that for him to be ready training camp?
Well, no offense to Sean Payton. No offense to head coaches. For me to buy into that, I need to see self-released video or otherwise that somehow proves Javonte Adams' progress. We were the first at Sports Injury Central, I believe, in-game to say it was ACL, LCL more than. That's come out to be true. Is this exactly a J.K. Dobbins? No two are exactly the same. But remind me what the Ravens were saying about J.K. Dobbins before the season.
He's ready to go full load. I mean, there's optimistic coaches, and you never want to knock them for being optimistic. But
no,
it seems like this is the case with that.
Seemed like there was the optimism was even stronger than for Javonte Adams, and that was one of our easiest unders for our futures. So I'm not buying it yet. I hope it's true. I'm more than glad to be wrong. I'm not buying it yet. I know you showed me something, and I chatted briefly with Evan Silva on something else, and I saw those guys establish a run. Those guys are great. That they are, I don't know, 17 or 18. They have them 17 or 18 lower than his ADP right now. Now, I don't know what 17 or 18 lower than ADP. look. I know what ADP means. Right. I don't know the significance of 18 lower.
When they start talking about running back tiers, and you check out. So
it's just not my area of expertise. But if you want to give me comps of this, that, the other, but do I buy in that he's ready week one and will look? Do I think his week one six score is in the 90s? No.
And he's week four, so a little bit earlier in the year. That might help him a little bit, but it's never – first year back is never
– Well, J.K. Dobbins was preseason.
Yeah. He ended up being the alien eyes and the knee and all that residual swelling. And so.
Six score in the 90s, week one, no.
Right.
Now, what week? Don't know. If you told me week 10 got him in the 90s, I'd say take it. That's a pretty good result. So. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think 18 drop in ADP, and I don't know enough about ADPs, is enough.
Yeah. Well, this is a time of year for optimism because you don't see actual video of people on.
They're going to release some video of how good he looks, but that's not everything.
Right.
And no, anyways.
So yeah, just letting people know we're starting our NFL stuff. It never turns off. It's always looking forward to next year. So everything on Kyler and Javonte Williams, all the fantasy relevant, and
We're not negative on everybody. Isaiah Pacheco had some surgery in the offseason, and we're fine with him going forward. We're not negative on everybody.
No, just offseason surgery doesn't necessarily mean bad. We talked about it before. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a tune up and get guys ready to go, so there's no residual issues. Yeah. But like you mentioned, golf. Jordan Spieth is at Oak Hill. He's seems like he's gearing up for the PGA. He's got a big old tape on his left arm that we made a video about. You can check it on YouTube. What are his chances to play and play well?
Okay. First of all, I'll do a better job than I did on the video explaining the tape job. I think on our YouTube video, I did it quick before my son's baseball game. I don't think I did the best
job. They keep winning, Doc. It's killing us, taking you away from us.
You know, I'm very happy for him. But for like five straight games now, like, oh, this is the last one. This is the last one. This is the last one. Well, Thursday's is the championship. So in theory, should be the last one. But then again, if they're lucky enough to win,
then they go to tournament of champions, right?
No, they have to play again because it's a double elimination tournament.
Okay.
We lost the first game, so we've been winning. We're way back into.
But they have to beat them twice.
We're in the championship game, but now we got to beat them twice. So we have to win Thursday and then now maybe Saturday. And so, like, Padre tickets plans change. This plans change. I mean, the office schedule plans changed. And then he's, you know, he must take after mom. He made the all-star team for the league. And so he's already got a Memorial Day tournament and going into July. So I'm like, can we just move on? No excuses here. Jordan Spieth, here's the thing. First of all, you have to understand, we just talked with Jim McMahon, 85% is a good day. 85%, you can't golf. You ever try and golf when your back is 85%? You can't play. And wrist, very important. Left wrist, even more important. And what the tape job tells us, why do you think he has two different colors of tape? Is he trying to be fashionable?
It's not the NBA. They don't do it for fun.
He's got the more structural white tape for support around his wrist. And we'll show a picture of it here. And that's for support around his left wrist, which is the power and the grip hand and golf for right-handed golfer, the whole deal. And these guys do tremendous things with the golf club, and you really need your wrist, almost more important than a baseball player. And it's important for baseball to move the ball and things they have to do and so forth. But that white tape is for structural support around the wrist. And that black tape is like kinesio tape, K-tape, more stretchy. And it just happens to come in black. It comes in different colors, but they had black. They weren't trying to make it two-toned in any way. But where it is, it tells me, I'm not trying to get super esoteric, but extensor carpi ulnaris, extensor tendon on the little pinky finger side. And that's responsible for extension, but also wrist ulnar deviation.
Gotcha.
Pretty important in golf.
Yeah. I was surprised it went all the way up the arm, but that's what you're saying is the tendon connects. So that's why.
Well, they're taking pressure off.
Yeah.
The tendonitis is more distal.
Right.
It's the tape goes longer, but that's for support. To me, when I saw that, look, if not for the PGA, he would not play, is my opinion.
Yeah. He's trying to get the career Grand Slam.
PGA, so. Career Grand Slam, sponsors. He's a competitor. Look, I'm just saying, if he's 95%, if you're 95% as a golfer, you can't win. I mean, the game of golf is so hard. They're such finely tuned animals, so to speak,
right.
Machines, so to speak. You just can't win, is my impression. We talked about it last year with Bryson DeChambeau, and he tried to avoid surgery, the hook of the handmaid, and he dropped out. We've talked about it with Tiger Woods. I'm not dissing Jordan Spieth. It's mad respect for the game of golf and what you have to do. I don't think he can make it. I don't think he can win. I don't think he can be competitive at the top. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. Maybe he's really fine now, and the tape is purely precautionary in some way, shape, or form. Look, I've covered golf tournaments before. It's been a while. But even those golfers, oh, my back's a little sore. Okay, well, here, you can take some Advil or whatever. And like, well, how will it affect me? I mean, it's just ibuprofen, it's a, you know, or an anti. But yeah, but my nerves are this, or I don't want to feel funny. I mean, I'm not saying they're difficult. I'm saying
they're purists about what
they need to know every little thing.
It's a mental game.
Mental game, but it's a precision game.
Right.
If Jim McMahon throws the ball here, it's ideal. But if it's here, it's still completion. Here, it's still completion. Here, it's not.
Right.
But there's a bigger window of misses, you know, in terms of course, there's the timing element. People are chasing you. But golf's a very precision game. And every millimeter, every angle of rotation at the wrist and other things amplify and matter. That's what drives everyone crazy in golf. So it's out of respect that I say, I think it's going to be very hard for him to look. He might not make the cut. We'll see. Now, it wasn't that he only played one practice hole the other day. He was jumping around. He's only seen right. one, then he left, but he didn't leave. He was going to another. So he's trying to play. Let's see what happens.
Another hand injury that be big in the news this week is Tyler Hero. Third and fourth metacarpal fracture in the right hand, shooting hand. April 15th, he underwent surgery. April 21. Team has said minimum 6 weeks. Why can he beat that? He's already been ruled out for game one, but.
Well, we said the Heat would have to make a deep run for him to return. I think they're pretty deep run right now. They're in the conference championship. Rule out week one or game one. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not sure why they delayed 6 days to have the surgery. Getting those 6 days back now might be helpful. But I think he's close. I think he could return the series. If they make it to the championship, I think he will return. And that still won't be 6 weeks, right?
Right.
He's beating 6 weeks. He's playing if they get in the NBA championship, book it. I think he's close now. Why? Because, yes, it's two bones, but the fracture, in theory, when it's fixed with a plate and screws, gives you more stability, early stability. You're relying on the plate and screws. Is if it were you or I playing pickup basketball, the doctor would tell you not to play for 3 months, right? It's all relative risk. But look, we've all seen with a brace and the other things, football players playing a week or 2 weeks, running backs, you know, et cetera. Wide receivers as early as 4 weeks. Look, basketball is a little different game. He's approaching 4 weeks. I would bet the under on the six.
There you go. That'll be big for the series. Boston's a heavy favorite, so we'll see if think the Heat can get him back and compete. Moving over to baseball, one we missed on Saturday, Jazz Chisholm, Marlins second baseman turned center fielder. He collided with the wall going deep on a ball, placed on 10-day IL, team saying 4 to 6 weeks for a right turf toe. Is that about accurate?
Well, 4 to 6 weeks for right turf toe. Well, let's put it this way. As we always say with injuries, first of all, it depends on what degree. Some turf toes are severe enough that you need surgery, and it's season. Not saying that's the case right here. Is it his right, and is he bats, throws what?
Bats left, throws right.
Well, you kind of need both, right? Yeah. So it's hard. Big toe is the power joint, the turf toe. 4 to 6, I have to say it's on a milder side sprain. Yeah, it's possible. The question is going to be, do they stick to 10 or they go to 60?
Right.
Right? I mean, they'll check his progress because they can retroactively do it. But yeah, if they're saying 4 to 6 weeks, I think you have to believe them. It's going to be at least four. And remember, let's say it's four. It's not like 3 weeks and 6 days, you can't do it. And at the 28th day, I can do it all. I mean, no, it's all gradual, right? And what can he do and the severity and how it affects him. Baseball is not as, I don't want to say bad as golf. It is a game that you cannot play at 85%.
Right.
But you might get through if you're in the 90s. Golf is a game that you got to be 98, 99 to play. So baseball is, quote, better in that respect. Not saying they're tougher than golfers or football players are tougher. It's just different sports. More able to play through a little something than in golf, but not like football. In football, it's situational. Okay, you can do this. We'll put you in for a little bit.
A lot bigger roster size, definitely. So
yeah,
we'll get you info on that. We'll have article up at sicscore.com. I know we're asking you to pull rabbits out of the hat on the podcast, but we give you a video and what the team says and all that stuff. So all that's incorporated in our insights on the website and articles. Another one we kind of asked you to pull a rabbit out of the hat was Vlad Guerrero Jr. for Toronto. We had just one angle video because it's a quick bunt. So what'd you see on his knee?
Well, I mean, I remember in the day when Vlad Guerrero was athletic and at third base. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is now old. I mean, I remember Vlad Guerrero. Okay.
I'm not that old, dog.
That's how old I am.
I'm not too young to not remember that. I remember him hitting the ball out that bounced before the plate.
Yeah. I mean, a lot. I mean, he looks a little stiff, but obviously his knee, the way that the video looks, the good news is this is not like an ACL tear. Is it a cartilage injury? It could be, but I'm more worried for a recurrence of patella tendonitis in his knee that he had in spring training, it seems like. And right, we're speculating on the patella tendonitis. The good news is it's not surgical. It's not season ending. The bad news is it can linger. It clearly has a little bit. It was in March that it happened, and now it's back in May.
He had a little bit pop up in 2019 too. He hasn't missed time since then, but a little longer history than just March to now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. When can he return to play? I don't remember who their DH is, but right, he could do DH a little quicker. Of course he's not going to run the bases that well, but yeah, he can get around well enough with his big bat.
About same speed as his dad right now?
Right now? Dad's got to be pretty old right now, yeah, right?
He had him young. He might be early 50s.
Well, let's put it this way. He's faster than me right now, for sure. But beyond that, we'll let it go. Look, how fast do you have to be if you hit it out?
Yeah, not that fast. Aaron Judge likes to trot around the bases lately. So, yeah. Last one is Cody Bellinger. We have details up on the website. But real quick, he's said to be day-to-day with the knee.
Well, the good news is it's not an ACL, right? But undoubtedly knee hyperextension and likely bone bruise. I think they're just trying to wait it out. Don't be surprised if you get a retroactive 10-day, and it could go longer. It shouldn't go longer than officially 10-day IL, but I'm not saying he returns in 10 days.
Right.
I think he should be able to stay short of 60, and hopefully we'll come back. Thankfully, Clyde in the wall, and it was the landing, but it's not an ACL. It's not season ending. By video, anyways.
Right. Just want to get that in there for any Chicago fans tuning in for McMahon, and you get some Cubs action. So,
yeah, and that was it was in Houston, and
right,
we had an interesting discussion that maybe people need to know about. And they said, well, his ligament's okay. The doc told him. That's what the Cubs manager said. Baseball team docs don't travel in the regular season. There's too many games.
Way too many games. Yeah,
they'll travel in the playoffs. Same with basketball. And we've talked about that with the Royers and the rib block injection. So it likely was a Houston team doctor. And there's usually a handful of guys that try and cover the 81 games. Some are orthopedists, some are PM&R, some are primary care, some are this, that, the right, other. And there's only one usually there per game.
And you did that for the Cubs, correct? Back in the day.
Okay. Yes, I did that for the Cubs. I was not the head team position. Right. I was one of
the rotating. Yeah,
I don't even know I was on a regular rotation, but
three guys are out sick.
I mean, there. I usually got the rain rescheduled doubleheader game when the main docs had surgery and other things during the day and couldn't cancel patients, and then I would be the official team physician for the 11, you know,
you're deep in the bullpen, can we put it like that?
Yeah, 11 a.m. You know, first pitch with a doubleheader, a game following at 2,
right?
Because they didn't have lights back in the day. You know,
get into both games with the same ticket.
Yeah. That so, you know, I've done a handful of games like that, done some stuff for the Twins in spring training, but it's not like the football
right
experience.
Beast of the week, I got two candidates for you. First one's the Bills athletic trainer Denny Kellington, going back to Oklahoma State and giving the commencement address. And second one is Bryce Harper for picking a fight while you're recovering from your UCL surgery. I don't know if that's beast as much as stop, well, but
well, Bryce just can't help himself.
He can't help himself. He's fired up.
But I would argue that's also what makes him great.
Yeah,
he's fired up. Same with Tatis when he talked about, you can't throttle the guy back. What makes him great is he's all out.
Right.
So, I mean, and I think the chances, unless you really go MMA and wrestling, was the chance of injuring his elbow are very low.
I don't know if he had a sliding brace on for the fight, but he probably should have. So.
Yeah, well, that's when your teammates are supposed to help you out. You can
baseball fights aren't fights anyways. It's a lot of holding each other back.
Well, I mean, it's sort of the wrestling. If low chance of injury to his elbow, don't do it, but low chance of injury to the elbow. I would say the Beast is great at Danny Killington. That's awesome. He's one of a whole team. Yes, he deserves it. But I would say the recognition of his school to be able to do it, I think is kind of cool.
Right.
Good for him. You know, how often, like you hear about all the times, we heard about it with the Eagles recently, heard about it with the Giants, you heard about it with the Chargers in the last year or two. Oh, look at all these injuries. The Giants have been at the bottom of average games lost. Fire the trainers, right, and fire the doctors, fire the trainers. You hear about the negativity. You don't always hear about the positivity. But the other thing I find funny about fire the trainers is if you really look at, first of all, you have to analyze every injury, what's their fault. But you have to understand, traditional athletic trainers in the NFL are not responsible primarily for injury prevention. They're responsible, sure, by injury prevention with taping and doing so, but for rehab. So they really should be judged on how quickly they get people back, not on how many injuries there are, if you get to it.
Right. And
of course, this is, you know, where I'm going to go next. The quote to my former GM when I was working, I'm Paul Revere. I'm not the British. I'm not invading. I'm just telling you they're coming. I'm not causing the injuries. I'm just telling you it's coming.
Yeah, that makes sense. Don't injury prevention's in the weight room, right? It's not on the trainer's table. Yep.
All set. All right. Any other questions or anything here?
No. We'll have all the latest on the playoffs. Go to the website, insights. Keep updated. We got Spieth up there. We got a latest on Victor Wembanyama, who's going to the Spurs. So that'll keep us going until football heats up. But right around the corner.
Yeah, and look, we put up a video questioning potential durability concerns. We have him north of Chet Holmgren in our confidence level. We probably have him south of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But he's going to be the first pick. It's just question, you know, they're going to have to work out how durable he is. I think he'll be all right. And that's why you have him green at 86. He's going to be the first player drafted. I saw a story where someone invested or bought into the Spurs on Monday. Probably already made some money. Partial investor.
That's but good timing, yeah.
Probably already made some money, I'd say.
That's a smart move.
That's good timing.
Yeah.
I guess they don't use ping pong balls, do they? They use
cards. I don't know what they use.
I think they use these cards, yeah. But whatever. It's all good. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks to Jim McMahon. Good to have in-studio guests whenever we can and the timing works out. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here or go to sicscore.com. Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.